T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I finally figured it out last night thinking about the whole what happened in Game 2.
What happened?
Embry and Keith Folk were just in a van driving across country.
Hey, Keith Folk was very valuable.
They were out for a spin.
They happened to be there.
On a road trip. And
this whole thing grew so organically.
The Red Sox are playing about 3 hours from here. You want to stop in?
We should go have a pitch.
It just showed up and they went, okay, go ahead.
The reliever who closed out the sweep in St. Louis, welcome back, Keith Folk.
Love Keith Folk. Keith Folk was great.
He should have been the MVP of the playoffs.
He was awesome.
So our buddy Lou Merlone.
Yes.
One of the 3 hosts of OMF.
That's right.
Afternoon Drive. And they will be in Los Angeles.
Out in L.A.
today.
Thanks.
So Lou broke this story yesterday afternoon on Twitter. And now it's everywhere. It's already received 10,000 likes, the tweet, 4,400 retweets. He's got a picture that somebody provided to him. I don't know who.
It's on Instagram, I think.
Yeah, somebody's Instagram. But anyway, the tweet from Lou said, and I quote, "Little Birdie told me an amazing story. This was the scene last night around 1 a.m. out in front of the Boston Library. Trays and trays of food fed the homeless. The man that delivered the food wasn't looking for attention or praise, but deserves it. God bless you, Mookie Betts." And the story has been developed from there. Rob Bradford wrote something on WEEI.com, spoke to somebody who was a witness, who watched it. And the key here to remember is there was no publicity. There was no
guy with
a camera following around. Evidently, it was Mookie and his cousin who at 1:45 in the morning were delivering trays of food to the homeless outside of the Boston Public Library. Well, USA Today has picked up the story, thanks to Lou. This is going to be everywhere. It will be a huge part of the telecast tonight.
Well, if he wasn't already likable enough.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, everybody loves
him. Everybody loves him.
But he might not want this attention, though. You know, like he probably... Because that's the thing, is there's a lot of guys who do great work for different charities, and their name is on it, and they hold these different events, and that's awesome. They raise a ton of money for these great causes. But there are so many guys, whether it's athletes, celebrities, or just regular people, Dale, that'll do these things, do really nice things, and they're not looking for any kind of attention at all.
And that apparently was the case with Betts.
That's what it feels like. And so I don't know if he would really want all this attention about that. And who knows? I don't know if this probably wasn't the first time he's done something like this. That'd be my guess.
I actually heard the guys this morning were talking about it, and I think Mutt said that it was his belief or understanding that this is something Betts has been doing.
Oh, yeah. See, I would not be surprised at all.
I'm looking at Rob Bradford's piece on WEEI.com, and there's a guy named Mike Winter, who's a VIP host for area clubs. And I'm kind of quoting from Rob's piece here. He was coming out of Storyville at about 1:45 a.m. He saw two men in hoodies executing this unique show of good faith. The pair had about 10 trays of food in a shopping cart, which they were distributing to the line of homeless folks who are lined up alongside the Boston Public Library. As this Mike Winter got closer, he recognized one of the guys in a hoodie.
That's pretty cool.
Was Mookie Betts. He went up and said hello to him. He said, this is Winter. He says, I didn't know who they were at first. They had hoodies on. Next thing I know, they're laying out trays of food. Then they're walking around all of the Boston Library, where there are tons of homeless, and telling people there's food around the corner. I walk up and I said hello because we have a mutual friend. And then all the people from the club came out and he just walked away. No pictures, no nothing.
Yeah.
None of the homeless even knew who he was, but they were grateful for what he was doing, said Mike Winter.
No, that's pretty cool. I mean, it flies in the face of, you know, so many people that say, you know, look at these athletes that make so much money. Like, what do they do? They don't, you know, sure, there are some that don't do anything, but there are a lot that do give back and like I said, don't want the attention, don't slap their name on something and aren't, you know, hey, make sure there's a camera there and I'm gonna quickly tweet this out and everything else. That is pretty impressive stuff by Mookie Betts. And I, like Mutt said, I guess this morning, I wouldn't be surprised if last season he was doing this, the season before. Who knows when he started, but it certainly wasn't last night or 2 nights ago.
Your point about, you know, the likability quotient. Now, first of all, he's the best player in the American League. He's going to win the MVP. So most people like great players anyway.
Yeah, that helps.
But he seems to have this remarkable air about him. People see him. He's got that great smile. He's respectful. He's polite. He's pleasant to deal with.
I don't know if it's overboard or not, but he's almost the perfect player.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to design a player as far as, you know, likable, you know, get the fans involved in it, but just what he does in the field, at the plate, like a true five-tool player, but he also seems like a really good guy on top of it. It just seems like an easy guy to root for. He's also still young, you know, so he's very much in his prime. He's having an MVP season. This is the kind of guy that is going to make $400 million. If he's healthy the next couple of years, when he becomes a free agent, he is going to sign some insane contract. Now, maybe Mike Trout will have one a little bit better, or at that point, right around the same amount, but Mookie Betts is going to change contracts for, you know, for position players when that comes up.
I love the fact that he did it at all. He and his cousin, apparently they were the two people doing it. I would not be shocked if we found out later on that he has done this at other times.
Oh yeah.
And I'm waiting for somebody to try to figure out a way to turn it into a negative. Like Marv in Salem. Hi, Marv.
Hi. I just wonder, this is just a guess, maybe I'm right, but, you know, after the game, don't they put out a giant spread of food for the players? And isn't it possible that Mookie sees his food possibly going to waste and doesn't want it to go to waste and just puts it in his car with his cousin and takes it down there and delivers it to the homeless after games?
It's certainly. I thought you were going to say he shouldn't get any credit for it. He just got it from the player spread.
You could be a jerk.
Yeah,
like
I don't know.
But it could be
if that's where it's from. I don't know that. Maybe it is. And if it is, fine.
Great. No, I mean he's still taking his time. He's still doing that, and he's going out there. And it's not like it's just his idea. Like, hey, somebody should run this out there. No, he's doing it. So whether it's the food from the team, maybe it is, or if it's not, it's still to me it doesn't matter at all.
My guess is he'll get asked about it today. He'll be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about this.
But my guess is Joe Buck's got to talk about it.
Yeah, they'll mention it. They'll probably show the picture, and they'll do that. You know, obviously Major League Baseball will want that out there because it makes them look even a little bit better. Like one of their star players giving back, like they're going to want to get that out there. But I would assume.
How about the idea that if he didn't want anybody to talk about it, if he didn't want any publicity, you should respect that and not do it?
Yeah. So
buy that?
You putting that on Lou?
No. Well, somebody did. Somebody on the text machine yesterday. Yeah, well, if he didn't want it out there, why'd Lou put it out there?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Lou wasn't the one that took the picture.
See, there's also a difference. Nobody said he didn't want it out there. What they said was he did this not seeking publicity. He didn't have a camera crew following him around. He wasn't looking for credit. He was doing it to do the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have said anything about it. Like, if I saw him doing it, I wouldn't have said anything about it. I don't think if he wants to, you know, keep it to himself and he and his cousin, this is what they do, and they don't want to share it with the world, then that should be his right. I mean, people are going to see you, and eventually it'll get out there. And that's why I go back to he's probably
done it. Does it mean now he won't do it? Because now he's afraid people are going to be, they're going to be staking out the Boston Public Library.
I mean, you really hope that's not the
case. Guys with three-ring binders filled with baseball cards.
Oh, my God.
Waiting for Mookie Betts to show up at the public library at 1:30 in the morning.
I would really hope not, but you never know. I mean, that could happen. If they know where he's going to be, there'll be a lot of people there.
Or will he simply continue to do it if he's been doing this all along?
I think he will.
He'll just find another place.
Yeah, he might find another place.
There are homeless in other places.
Yes, there are.
There are a lot around the Boston Public Library.
No, I think he could do that. He's still going to do it for sure. But, you know, if people make it more difficult for him, that's kind of a shame. You know, that may have been one of the reasons why he kind of did it without a whole lot of attention.
This is a story now everywhere. It started with Lou's tweet and an Instagram photo that was sent to him by somebody who was there,
right.
Who saw it.
Right.
So it started with Lou's tweet, and now it's everywhere. USA Today just ran it a few minutes ago.
No, it's pretty cool. It's a good story.
NBC has had a story. I got a text from somebody who says, I'm listening through the app on my phone while I'm visiting in Vegas. The NBC affiliate had the Mookie story this morning in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Fox is going to have to talk about it.
No, they will. No, they will. They will.
Not that there's anything negative about it.
No.
But my guess is Mookie would rather not talk about it, especially, you know, before Game 3 of the World Series.
Right. And I'm sure he'll downplay it, and then you hope they just move on from it. You know, they don't just – there's not – I feel like once you sort of say, yeah, I do that, then like, all right, where do you go from there?
How long have you been doing it? No, why did you start doing it?
Like, let's talk about
what's
baseball.
Your purpose?
Let's talk about baseball.
Yeah, I know. See, that's what's going to happen, though, and it will turn into a thing, and he just wants to
– Right.
My guess is – just wanted to do something nice, do the right thing
sure.
for people,
yeah.
wanted to be helpful, didn't want anybody to give him credit. Oh, Mookie, what a great guy. Now, it turns out there were people who saw what he did.
Right. It's only
the
a matter
fact
of time
that he's wearing the hoodie
there.
Is a pretty good indication he was trying to kind of go incognito. Well, maybe cold, too. It probably was a little chilly at 1:30 in the morning.
But sure. Oh, yeah. He's not looking for all kinds of attention with us.
Tom's on the cell phone. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I love Mookie Betts. You know, so when I heard you describing him just a few moments ago, you know, five-tool player, everybody liked. So I want to know if you think this is too premature, but he reminds me of Willie Mays, you know, kind of the reputation and abilities. And I think he'll kind of go down in history kind of like that kind of player.
I mean, as you said, that's obviously very high praise, but that's sort of the track
I'm not willing to say that, you know, that he's a Hall of Fame player. He certainly has the skills and everything that you want.
I mean, Willie Mays is one of the, what, 3 to 5 greatest players of all time.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
I mean, I'm not going there, but I think the idea, like, if you want to say, like, a modern-day Willie Mays, I mean, I think, listen, if you look at 2 years ago, I thought he should have won the MVP, finished second. Last year wasn't his best year, but he was still good enough to be sixth in the AL MVP voting. This year he's going to win it.
Yes.
And he's in his mid-20s. So if you take those 3 years, and if he's able to, the old caveat, stay healthy for the next 10 years, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to end up hitting, you know, 660 homers like Willie Mays did. But as far as what kind of an impact player, the consistent top five finishes in the MVP, a la Mike Trout, like you have another guy that's doing that right now too. But yeah, that's the track that he is on, sure.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Noon 30 coming up next, Woo! Our week in review, and have we got some stuff to review?
We do.
We'll talk to Michael Irvin at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness? Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
What now?
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say? Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah. Right. Screw you.
Yes, exactly.
We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
Need you.
Kiefer Madness.
I hate Rich Keefe's guts.
Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
The Naked Yoga Man was released on $1,000 personal recognizance.
Ma'am, we're discussing the rezoning for the Portillo's. Do you have any comments on that?
For what?
Just felt like something wet hitting me. Yeah. It was falling from the sky. You could feel the drops hitting you.
Spoiler alert, it was poop.
Of course it was poop.
It is noon 30 on a Friday. That means it's week in review time here on
How
the program.
How did you whittle it down this week?
We did the best. A lot of good stuff in the deleted scenes on the DVD that you're going to have to check out a little bit later on. Let's start.
Bonus content.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there. This was from Monday. Greg Dickerson was in with you, Dale, and Rob Ninkovich, as he does every Monday, joined us. And he was discussing, well, some of the things that you see on your way from the hotel to the stadium when you're playing the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people that are wasted before the game. You're like, how are you going to make it? And then you see after the game, they didn't make it. They just were still, like, in the parking lot. Didn't even make it into the stadium.
And I've heard mooning. People moon the bus.
I've seen mooning and frontal mooning.
Frontal. Oh, yeah. Frontal mooning.
Okay. The old frontal mooning.
Is that a thing?
Frontal, yeah.
I've never heard of frontal mooning.
I think it's called flashing.
Flashing, yeah, but I think you need a trench coat for that. You need like a big trench coat in order to flash somebody. Other than that, I think it's just
I like when in the back of the control room there are people in there mimicking the
They're
flashing.
They're showing that what it's like.
Because we wouldn't
have
been
able to.
So if you just pulled
we wouldn't have been able to think of what you'd do with a trench coat.
If you, and don't do this now because you're in a workplace, but if you just pulled your pants down, you think that would be a flash?
Yes.
I think it might be a frontal moon.
I'm just saying I had never heard of frontal moon until Ninkovich dropped it on us on Monday.
But it makes almost too much sense, doesn't it?
Though, huh?
Yeah.
frontal mooning.
Oh, yeah. Frontal mooning. Okay.
So, which I think is awkward because, like, like, why would you do that? Like, why would you flash me?
Why would,
like,
you show me that?
That's weird. That's weird. And in the bus, you can't see, but, like, I so badly want, like, a non-tinted bus to where you could just double bird them. You know? Like, like, what are you doing? Like, grow up. Grow up, Bills Mafia.
And although, as Devin McCourty pointed out, he didn't exactly want to get off the bus, though.
No, just give him the finger, I guess.
Give him the double freedom rockets.
That makes you feel a whole lot better, I suppose. But apparently, also on Monday, you guys almost got into a fight with a caller? Is that what's happening now? I leave for one day. And now all of a sudden
because you're the calming influence that we need.
Well, it turns out I am.
America.
Nobody else is trying to fight on Tuesday through Friday. Let's see what happened with our old buddy Jerome.
What about when he said, listen, I can take you both on. I've fought more than two guys at once before. But what about when he said he was too soft?
I'm sorry, I don't remember that at all.
When did he say he could fight two people? When was this?
Me, I'll take both of you on. I don't care.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, it's time to go.
I don't make a habit of trying to fight 70-year-old men.
He might be a spitter, though. Better watch out.
That's a good point by you, Lucy.
Yeah, but if he spits at me, Lucy, you know what? I'm pulling a Rondo, baby.
And I'm
no, I'm sorry. I'm pulling a Chris Paul. Yeah. Poking him in the eye like Mo.
Braintree Flag Football Week.
That's him.
What on earth happened there? What was the problem?
He wanted to pick a fight with us. He you know, he has fought more than two people before.
Sure. How'd that go, though?
Haven't we all?
Yeah, I was going to say, just because you've been in there with a couple of people, it doesn't mean you've done very well.
No.
Let me tell you something. I played at a high level myself. Two MVPs.
Nice.
He's really got more of an edge to him now. I used to love Jerome. Jerome would call in. You know, he's our flag football MVP. Now he's trying to fight Greg and Dale at the same time.
Let's be honest. He probably could take both of us
down. Tony was trying to fight Greg, too. Maybe it's a Greg problem.
That's probably likely.
Does he challenge people to fights?
He just is punchable.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, you sound like you know what you're talking about.
See, I like Jerome. I have no problem with Jerome.
I bet you don't.
It's you guys that have the really big issue with it. It's really strange. Let's go to Tuesday now. And Dale, we found out before it aired, game one of the World Series, that Fox, to get you sort of amped up for the game, they were going to give Bill Belichick a chance to do some voiceover work.
They've been working on this for a while, I guess, trying to talk him into it.
We also worked on it for a while. During the show, we took some of Bill Belichick, what he had to say earlier in the week, and I said, Rossi, all you got to do is throw some sweet music underneath it, and you're going to have yourself a pretty epic speech.
Whatever they need to do, they can do.
See? Perfect.
Hit, pitch, run, play defense, take pitches, and they're good.
Let's go! Game one! Yeah!
Oh, that's it.
Right? That's all you need. That's all it took. Take his press conference, throw a little music into it,
and let it rip.
Amazing! And that's even without the visual. That's just the audio of it. Incredible, Rossi. Incredible.
What do you think of that? That was pretty good.
It was as good as what Fox put together. Now, Fox had the advantage of being able to show you stuff.
Yeah, they had visuals. They could cut in with some, you know, highlights, which was pretty good.
Whatever they need to do, they can do.
See? Perfect.
Hit, pitch, run, play defense, take pitches.
Take pitches.
That was the one that pushed it over the top.
That was
the emotional peak for me.
How do you make history?
Yeah.
You win. Championships.
Perfect.
Hit, pitch, run, play defense, take pitches.
I'll take Rossi's version every time. That was a better breakdown of the game.
Nice.
Now, this is something a little outside the box, I guess, Dale. We've been doing a nice breakdown here of the World Series. There's a lot going on. Righties versus lefties. Eovaldi out of the pen. What do you do with J.D. Martinez? There's a lot to get to. But what about the Earth? What's going to happen with the Earth? Could there be a natural disaster?
Is there any way we could not replay this? Because this made me nervous said it.
This guy knew what he was talking about.
Of all the earthquakes that are happening on the West Coast.
Ooh, you sound like a bit of a downer.
No, I love the Red Sox, and I don't... I don't like to see them in L.A. when it's going to come.
Oh.
You know, L.A.'s been waiting for this for a long time, and it's here.
So the earthquakes are going to happen during the World Series?
Probably.
I think that's a pretty scientific determination there.
Sir, what? He's like, yeah.
The earthquakes are going to happen during the World Series?
Probably.
Yeah.
So where do you go from there? Well, luckily we kept
that
him
means
on
better
the
than like a 50-49 chance, right? 51-49, 51%
chance, yeah, probably.
What do you mean probably, Michael? Based off of what? Why do you think there's going to be an earthquake this weekend?
Oh, well, because there were six large earthquakes on the 22nd. Jeez. Up in Vancouver.
Now, do you think at one point there's going to be enough earthquakes where California detaches from the rest of the United States? Because I know that's sort of a hot theory.
The force of earthquakes run down the plate.
Right.
And that goes along the California coast.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I saw a movie about this once. Yeah. It could happen. I've
what
seen the
that?
Movie.
What was the movie?
I forget the name of the one where the big earthquake in California and came in and flooded. And what was the earthquake?
What was that one? Anybody?
Some of All Fears?
Joe versus the Volcano?
that was probably it.
Of all the earthquakes that are happening on the West Coast.
Ooh, you sound like a bit of a downer. And then he goes, no, I'm a big fan. Like, that's not what we're talking about here. That's not.
The earthquakes are going to happen during the World Series?
Probably.
Okay. So then we also decided after game one, it was our first game this postseason where it was Joe Buck and John Smoltz on the call. And what they do every single time they're at Fenway Park during a night game, they got to get a shot of the Prudential Building, right?
Always.
Because the way the lights
always.
Are.
Yeah, always.
It always says, go Sox. It's very exciting. Joe Buck, though, decided to do voices, and all of a sudden he was like a voice comedian. John Smoltz didn't really weigh in on this, but Joe Buck was trying to play it out what it would sound like for some of the employees there to make sure that the lights were on.
Oh, man.
Easy to laugh.
Don't forget to turn on your lights before you go home.
Before you go home, there's a Red Sox game tonight. We're going to be on TV. Hey, it's the Go Sox that you see on the outside. Turn your lights on. You have to turn your light off. I know you're working late, but turn your light off. It won't work if you're in there.
If they change the lettering tonight, that whole building's going to... What? What do I do now?
Wait, go six. What does that mean?
No, go six.
Go six.
All right. Who's the jolly joker who changed it to six?
Go six. I can get behind that. That's a good message. Go six.
You're part of the Go Sox.
Somebody's going to hack into the building tonight. There's Go Sex.
You know what?
They have to blur it.
Those
box.
Geniuses at MIT who stick the police car up on top of the building.
Oh, yeah.
Figure out how to change the Prue to Go Sex tonight.
Oh, they can hack into that. No problem.
Karen, you do it too.
Yeah, Karen. Shut your light off. No, Kevin, turn yours on.
Oh, we'll be fine.
Kevin,
thanks,
don't
Joe
forget
Bach.
To turn on your lights before you go home.
Go Sex!
We're going to
go Sex!
We're going to try it.
They did not go. It was not Go Sex in game two, which is too bad. It was Go Sox once again.
No,
although
I saw a
Rossi,
on the
you know what? Rossi did tweet out an image that at least for a moment, there was somebody must have screwed up. It did say Go Sex at one point. Also, Dale, on Wednesday, we got a call from John who he had a point, I think, on the Red Sox, but he had a request right out of the gate. You and I kind of answered it a little differently.
Hi, would it be all right to say hi to my daughter before I have an observation and a question?
Absolutely.
No, absolutely not.
Dale's
no.
cold-blooded.
I don't. I mean, next thing you know, everybody's calling wanting to say hi to somebody.
No, that's true. It was a screwy week this week on the
call. And the next thing you know, you become Mustard and Johnson.
No, I know.
I mean, everybody say hi to everybody.
I know. It's a whole thing. How you doing? Have you been? That kind of thing.
And Keith's been questioning, like, oh, have I asked people like their opinions on who should start or their opinions on this?
Yeah.
And now look at you, open the floodgates.
Well, he seemed really nice, and he was asking politely if... Well, let's see what happens.
Would it be all right to say hi to my daughter before I have an observation and a question?
Absolutely.
No, absolutely not.
Dale's
no.
cold-blooded.
I don't care. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. Let it fly.
No, I just went, hey, Sarah, Crow and Mulvey. Or Mul- yeah,
oh,
and
now
Mulvey.
See, now you worked in a cheap added, plug. No, yeah, see, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
What the hell?
I'm trying to do it right, so I didn't want to break any rules here.
You just did.
Dale said no, specifically.
And that's why. Yeah. Now you know why. All right, go ahead.
I apologize.
The poor guy had to apologize.
See, now you didn't listen to me. Next thing you know, he's in there plugging some business.
No, you're right. You're right.
We don't know what they sell.
We got to no.
What they do.
We don't support that.
No, whatever it is, we're not a fan of it.
Now,
unless they're going to change the lights on the Prue to say go sex.
Go sex.
We're all for it.
We are definitely in favor of that. Last thing we have here from the week, we also discussed how after game two, they had a number of Red Sox from the 2004 club out there on the field. Not Curt Schilling, not Manny Ramirez, But they had Kevin Millar, Tim Wakefield, obviously Ortiz. They had Pedro Martinez, Keith Falk. Even our guy Alan Embry made an appearance.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of them not having Curt Schilling out there for
I
the
said
O4
last
squad?
Night it's a bad look for the Red Sox. They should have included him.
They absolutely should have included
nothing
him.
Nothing against Alan Embry or...
Alan Embry?
Please.
Alan Embry?
No.
Welcome back, Alan
yeah!
Embry.
Yeah!
I've been waiting to wear your
Thank
Alan Embry
you,
jersey.
Alan! Thank you, Alan!
Alan Embry made the cut. One of the seven guys from the 0-4 Red Sox to throw out the first
pitch. We had a texter who said he was flying out to, I forget, Oregon or something.
Kalamazoo.
No. That was the West Coast. Oh. And he happened to be on the flight with Alan Embry.
What a thrill.
And he said he happened to have a baseball and a pen.
You got an Alan Embry.
Wait a second. No. Who has a baseball when they're traveling?
You never know. You might want to toss.
It's World Series season, Rossi. Why wouldn't you have a
Next
baseball?
Next thing you know, Alan Embry's on the flight and you're unprepared.
I'd be like, do I wait for somebody better or do I just get this one now?
Hey, could you sign it, but not on the sweet spot there because I could use that later.
I could see Mike Timlin at the terminal. So hold on a second. Let me wait
Wilton
a minute.
Veris might be at when we land.
You never know. Shea Hillenbrand could be walking around here at any minute.
His name won't even fit.
That's a tough one. You're walking around with a baseball. Hey, are you Alan Embry? I would walk right past Alan Embry. No offense, Alan Embry.
No.
Would you have any idea?
No.
I mean, in 04, you'd recognize
Timlin,
him.
Timlin, I
now,
would know, by the way.
Timlin is more recognizable.
I would recognize Mike Timlin immediately. Keith Falk, I would recognize. Although
Rossi's guy, Curtis Lescanic.
It looked as though maybe Keith should mix in a salad.
Oh, damn, he doesn't play anymore. What does it matter to you?
First Roseanne.
That's ridiculous.
Now Alan Embry.
Dale loses weight, and all of a sudden he's just calling out all these fat people now.
Just
unbelievable.
I just was concerned about his continued health
him,
and well-being.
Recruit him to Awaken 180.
Yeah, well, don't
hey,
be afraid
I'm former big league
give
closer,
Paige
Keith
a call.
The tipping point for me was when Dale called me a fat slob on the air. That's what I knew.
By
I
the way,
lose
fat
weight.
Slob's a little harsh.
Oh, that's what I
heard. Said, don't be afraid to mix in a salad.
It's the same thing, Dale. It's even worse because you try to mask it.
Now I feel bad.
Rossi, is it just me or is Dale getting really mean to fats?
Spicy. He's very spicy to the
he's
chubby
attack,
people. I don't use the F word. So.
He's attacking all the fats. That's what he's doing. And it's not good.
Rossi says, I don't use the F word.
Please.
Fats.
No, he doesn't.
Is the F word for Rossi?
No, Rossi's very nice. He doesn't insult people at all. And he doesn't like it when we do it either. You can tell he's getting a little nervous about it. He doesn't like where this is headed.
Chubby. I think we can use chubby.
Chubby?
No, remember we were talking about that earlier. Husky.
That's the worst. That is. Because it's just offensive. It's just like.
He hates Husky.
That is tough to hear.
Six-year-old Ross is not
happy. In the Sears catalog, they used to have pants and you could order Huskies.
Husky.
You don't know Rossi. Well, Sears is going out of business, so probably can't get them there. But
no, that's true.
There might be other folks who sell Huskies. I don't know. We got to take
a
break.
Yeah, that'll do it.
We will, we'll get back to the calls with you guys. We'll talk to Michael Irvin at the top of the hour. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Of all the earthquakes that are happening on the West Coast.
Ooh, you sound like a bit of a downer.
Come back, Alan
Avery. Yeah!
Frontal mooning.
Frontal mooning.
Okay.
Incredible, Rossi.
Rocking the midday with Dan Arnold.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
And Rich Keefe.
Stop talking when I'm talking!
WEEI. Not enough old school stuff for me on a Falls Count Anywhere
Friday.
No,
a lot of new school stuff.
Well, you got a lot of old school coming back.
Well, it's a woman's evolution taking place right now.
And you got a bunch of big stars returning.
Not as many bra and panty matches as there used to be.
No, that part, thankfully, is.
They sort of moved on.
You got Lita, you got Trish.
Oh, yeah. It's the who's who.
Got them all coming back. Obviously, in the middle of the World Series, we've talked a lot of baseball, Patriots getting ready for the Buffalo Bills. We've talked some football. We've tried to build in over the last few days at least one segment during the program in which we at least touch on the other two teams, both of whom happened to play last night.
Yes.
I'll start with the Bruins briefly. Great performance by Yaroslav Halak. He gets the shutout last night. They beat the Philadelphia Flyers 3-0. Zdeno Chara had a pair of goals. I think it's now legitimate to begin wondering if the Bruins have a goaltending controversy.
I mean, Halak's been a lot better. I mean,
it's
early.
Got two shutouts already
this
year.
Two shutouts already. I mean, it's early, obviously, but he has been so good.
you know, the save percentage, the goals against, the wins, all of that. I want to see a lot of Halak. I want to see 50-50, at least for a while.
Tuukka's playing tomorrow
against
the Montreal Canadiens. Halak played last night.
He's not great against Montreal.
Yeah, I know. And I think Carey Price is playing for Montreal. He's usually great against Boston.
Nice.
But we'll see what happens. Halak was terrific last night. Kind of a rock'em sock'em robot night last night. There was a couple of dust-ups.
And you know, trying to flip back and forth between the two, it did seem like the Krejci line was giving you a little something more. Right, because for so often they just rely so heavily on the top line, which makes sense. It's the best line in all of hockey. But you're wondering, are they going to break that up? And if not, are you going to be able to get something from the other guys? And they seem to be a lot more active last night.
Still missing a lot of guys right now. You know, you've got Kevin Miller out with a broken hand. You've got Charlie McAvoy, David Backes still out. You're missing three of your top six defensemen. But Bruce Cassidy did say today that it was possible at least, that Torrey Krug could play tomorrow night against Montreal.
Oh, good.
Yep.
So there you go. So that'd be a nice boost. So
while I was doing that game,
yes,
you had a chance to watch the other game.
And it looked like here come the Celtics from the first four games of the season in the first half. They couldn't make a shot. I mean, that's been...
Their three-point shooting's been horrible
been awful.
This year.
Even their shooting just from anywhere has been bad. And that was sort of the theme. And then the first half, they're down 16 points. You're like, all right, just more of the same. Nobody could buy a shot. Then the second half, a huge third quarter, they come back and beat the still winless Oklahoma City Thunder, which is pretty surprising that they are winless. But Jason Tatum had a good game. He's actually been their most consistent scorer through this part of the year. Marcus Morris hit a couple of huge shots, a couple of big-time shots. So Morris is getting his playing time's worth. He played 30 minutes last night. He had, you know, 21 points off the bench. Gordon Hayward was pretty invisible. Still on his minutes restriction, so he played 24 minutes, only had 5 points. And the other guy who seems to be really affected by so many players and so many good players on the court at once is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, who kind of turned into a real second scorer last year in the playoffs when everybody was down with the exception of Tatum. He seems like when he's out there, he seems like the fifth option, even with Hayward, even with Horford, who I thought would be giving up more shots. He's more aggressive than Jaylen Brown. So that's going to be a work in progress to see how he sort of fits in with everybody, I think.
Do you get the sense? Now, they did come back and win. So,
a win
is a win is a win. And I understand that. I get the sense that Brad Stevens is a little frustrated with his team right
now. I think he has to be. Plus, I mean, this is the highest expectations he has ever had at any level. I mean, it's NBA Finals or bust, and everybody's talking about how much talent they have. And Danny Ainge has done his job. Danny Ainge has gotten Brad Stevens all kinds of talent. And so he needs to win, and it's just you're bringing Hayward and Irving back from injury. You're trying to figure out this starting lineup playing together. You have a couple of really good players coming off the bench, so you're trying to figure out what, you know, lineups and things work out together. But it's very simple, but the first four games, even the first half last night, they're just not making shots. Like I think they will look a whole lot because defensively they've been pretty good.
You'd think you could improve on. You'll fix that. They're a better shooting team than what they've shown.
Oh yeah,
so far.
And if you just look at their career history, like if they're all shooting, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're probably all shooting below what they normally shoot for their career. So I think that will level off. They have to be pretty happy though overall with the defensive effort, like the defensive metrics and all those things. Through five games, they've been pretty good. Whereas in the preseason, that was their biggest issue. They were terrible there, and Stevens was upset. I mean, most of that is just effort. So now I just think they need to get some of the shots to fall. And their next two games, it's like a home-and-home with Detroit, who is off to a pretty good start early on. He's got Blake Griffin at the 50-point game the other night. They got Andre Drummond. So that'll be a pretty good little back-to-back. Or it's not a back-to-back, but two consecutive games.
So the Bruins and Celtics are still playing. It's just they're sort of playing in relative anonymity when the Red Sox are in the middle of the World Series.
It's kind of funny because the expectations for the Celtics, if the Red Sox weren't playing, there'd be even more attention and people would be like,
negative
oh my God.
Attention.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh my God, what's up with the slow start next week when the Red Sox are done? And then you just have the Patriots once a week and then you can really get back to paying attention to both of these teams every single night.
I did leave one part out and I should have included it. Yaroslav Halak had the shutout, played great, and assisted on a 190-foot power play goal.
That's pretty good. Everything's coming up Halak.
It was
right
the
now.
Weirdest goal I can remember. Yeah. I mean, you're on the power play. It's the closing seconds. Philadelphia's pulled their goaltender, extra attacker, and Halak said he had the puck at the side of the net, and Chara is yelling to him, to give it to him. Give it here. And he dumps it into the corner for Chara, and Chara shoots it from 190 feet away.
These are going back to the days. I know he's not on the team anymore, but people would compare it. They'd say, Halak has more points than Jimmy Hayes.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of guy. Or you'll find a guy that's
struggling. Oh, yeah, you can do that easily.
And be like, Halak has as many points as...
He has more points right now than David Backus does.
There you go. Exactly.
And so, now, David Backus is hurt, but he doesn't have any points either.
Right, exactly. So when he does come back, and if that streak continues, you're going to see that stat a lot.
617-779-7937. We'll get back to your calls in just a few minutes. We'll talk to Michael Irvin live from London. Coming up next, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.